Hey everyone, welcome to Be Love, Do Good. I'm your host, Christy Hayes, a wife, mama of two, founder of Be Strong Story, and the author of The Lunchbox Note, a true story about how a simple lunchbox note changed my family's life and mission forever. If you're looking to break out of your comfort zone and love others in a way that brings about real change in your community, we've got you covered. The Be Love, Do Good podcast brings you inspiring stories and authentic conversations that empower you to be love and do good wherever you are. Stepping out of your comfort zones can be hard, but if we do it together, we'll see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey, Tony, thanks so much for being on the Be Love, Do Good podcast. We've been talking before this. She's one of my favorites because it's just so easy and fun to talk to. I feel like we're just like in a slumber party talking of the day. Tony, if you don't know Tony, she is an author. She is a podcaster. She is a mama. She is just, I hate using the phrase like boss lady because it's so cliche, but like honestly, you are okay with that.
I'll receive and that.
Let's just talk I do follow you on Instagram. Let's just talk a little bit about what is happening with this fitness regimen.
I knew you were going to say it.
I'm like, what is happening? Because I love
guns out.
Okay, so you posted So, you know, I've loved CrossFit for years and I was an athlete in college. Yes. It's the only thing that has made me feel like an athlete again. And so when you posted the pull-ups, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, you did. Because that's so hard. I used to be a fitness trainer back in the day.
Yeah,
and that
was
the hardest thing for women. Like if you didn't do it growing up, it was so hard. So, okay, let's just talk about that first of all. What is happening in the fitness regimen right now?
What's going on? So here's the deal, family. I go to a gym called Burn Bootcamp. It's amazing for me for so many reasons, because I travel a lot to different cities and states and they're all over the nation and I get to go bop around to the different ones and it's great. What has been precious is that the reason why I joined it is because of one of my friends, Belinda. Me and my kids moved to a brand new city back in the fall. I processed through divorce. It was crazy. It was a public divorce, lots of betrayal, lots of lies. It was just nasty. And I just had gotten really sickly. So I wasn't eating. I wasn't sleeping. I was doing the best that I possibly could. I took time off stage to process through everything that I had discovered about my ex-husband. And I just wasn't well. And I remember my friend Belinda saying, hey, babes, like we got to get yourself back together again here, sweet girl. And I was going to counseling, right? Like mentally and emotionally, I was doing pretty good, but physically I wasn't. So I remember going to my first class at Burn Bootcamp and the owner, Montela, she came up to me and she was like, hey girl, good job in your first class. I was like, great. I threw up. great. She said, okay, so if you can, like, tell me, like, so what are some of your fitness goals? And I said, with tears in my eyes, and this woman does not even know me, I said, I really am just trying to be alive for my kids. And that is interesting because I just had another focus meeting, which is what for nutrition, and it kind of keeps track of how you're doing. And they asked me what my goals were. And I was like, consistency. I don't want to ever not work out. Like, I love it so much. It's like, it's driving me. And so while I am physically the hottest I've ever been in my life, okay, I just am. I mean, there are times, almost every day I wake up and I check myself out in my mirror, in my room. I just want to be honest about that.
Because you are wearing some cute little, like,
hottie.
Monotone Lululemon, or what's your choice?
I'm really going for all of them. Old Navy.
Okay.
Athletics. Okay. Target. I mean, I'm in.
All of it. Amazon. Okay?
All the outfits.
Yeah.
And while I am physically the hottest I've ever been, I am so strong mentally and emotionally, and not the fake kind of strong where you mask things, but like I really could face hard things because I have just been treating my body physically right. And it has impacted my emotions and my mental state in the best of ways. And I invite all my friends and I make them come and die at the gym with me. And it is amazing. And so I actually have a group text called Burn Baddies.
Yeah.
That's right. So it's these girls from the gym. And every month we go out together and we're just so cute. And we're bopping around and it's the best. And so it's changed my life and I will never stop.
I love it. Sometimes, honestly, that is the one thing you can control when your life is out of control. I have felt that before, like in a season of grief and anxiety, the one thing that I can control is getting up, even though I want to, and working out and like lifting some of that heavy weight or doing a pull up or whatever makes you literally walk out of the gym and go, okay, I can do the next hard thing, which feels insurmountable. But for some reason, after those endorphins, I mean, you got a bunch of research and science and stuff.
Yeah, dopamine flowing in. Yeah,
but personally, you and I have felt that.
Oh, 100. I remember there were times that where I walked in and I had snot nose cried the entire way to the gym.
For sure.
I had to sit in the back because I would have to turn around and face the wall to just let a few tears out.
Yes.
And I would just walk out feeling like we really grieved well today, my girl. We grieved well today.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And when you're going through that much pain with other people, physically pain, like when you're in a class that you're, no one cares. Yeah. They don't know if it's sweat or tears or
nobody even knows.
No one even knows. Yeah.
Maybe the workout made me cry.
Yeah.
You know?
You never know.
But it was amazing.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So we talked a little bit beforehand. One of the things that you said is I've never been so just naked in front of people emotionally. And you kind of talked a little bit about how you went through some stuff last year, but it wasn't private. It happened to be public, which is a whole nother set of trauma. Yeah. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Oh my gosh, I'd love to. You know, I remember the date, I'll never forget, September 19th. It was a Tuesday. I was in Nashville, Tennessee, filming with TBN. And what's crazy is I had some of my dearest, closest friends with me. I'm in a group therapy group called A Confessional Community. And we meet every single month for 3 hours. And we talk about our griefs and our longings. And we confess all our stuff, because that's what we have to do as leaders. We gotta be able to confess. And I was with two of my closest friends in my confessional community that I've been walking through life with. And I was in my hotel and I got a call and it changed my life forever. It was one of the most devastating calls I ever gotten about my ex-husband discovering all this betrayal and all these years and years and years of lies. And I remember calling my two friends that were there, Jamie and Jessica. And I was like, I need you guys like right now. And I ran to them and I told them everything, what had happened then, what had happened years ago. I mean, all the things. And I remember Jamie holding me in the hallway of the hotel. And I just kept saying, I have to leave, right? Like the marriage is no longer God honoring. I have to leave, right? And I remember her saying to me two things. She was like, I think you need to call Lisa Turkhurst. Okay. And I think you need to talk to her and see how she kind of navigated this. And I think it'd be really great if you talk to your counselor too, and really took some time to pray. And I think that was one of the, I won't say first times, but one of the most pivotal moments of this reality that we just cannot heal alone. Because in my deepest moment of despair, realizing that my marriage had to be over, that it just could not be repaired. It was just too many times. I had a person that deeply loved me and cared for me and my children. And I had her look at me in the eye and point me to Jesus and therapy. And what's crazy and beautiful is that I had forgotten that an hour after I found out, I had a counseling session already scheduled with my counselor, which is just a God wink for sure. But I mean, I'm a leader, you know, we're all leaders in our own right, but I've got a public platform with hundreds of thousands of followers and all of this in my divorce was all public. And the one thing that I started thinking about was I could really just hide. I got off of social media. I took time away from preaching for 3 months. I could just like slip into the abyss, come back like nothing's happened, but I don't know. I just felt like the Lord was leading me to grieve publicly. And there are so many freaking details and things. I mean, I'm tempering my words right now that I could share with the public that would just make some people throw up in their mouth. But so there's wisdom in that, but I just feel really called to be a leader that says, this life is not perfect. It's just not. And God is not playing favorites. There is no popularity competition. I have no more access to God than anyone else. It doesn't matter how seminary degree, it doesn't matter. And I just think this was such a beautiful opportunity to make God bigger. Because when people look at me and they see me and my little Teletubby self bopping around and all the things that I get to do in the states and the countries I get to visit, they could just easily be like, look, oh my gosh, like she's God's favorite, okay? But the truth is that makes God so small mm-hmm. that he would choose a type of person to love and to redeem and to heal. And instead I'm saying, no, look at how jacked up this is. It's just horrific. Mm-hmm. And if I can still wake up in the morning and choose life and God can redeem my story, he can do it for anybody.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing over the last couple months, is just being emotionally and mentally naked on the social medias and stuff and such. And it's been hard, but it's been holy for sure.
Yeah. You're no stranger to trauma, and you've been through, you know, history before even this. Tell me how, when you've had some of the worst things happen to you, how do you get up in the morning and believe in a good God?
Oh, this is, I love this question. Because I'm at a point in my life now where my faith is so resilient and mature that I know dang well the God of all creation, who intended us to be frolicking around butt naked in the middle of gardens and beauty, would not dare wish this evil and pain on any of his sons and daughters. He is good. And I'm not shallow enough to believe that he is the cause of the pain. I'm going to blame the pain and the darkness and the abuse and the betrayal and the church hurt on the people that did it, not the one who created me. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? And I think it's just so easy to do that. It's easier to blame an unseen God than your baby daddy. It's easier to blame an unseen God than the man or woman that birthed you. Okay. Like that's easy. Mm-hmm. But what's hard is saying, no, I'm going to sit in the pain that I've been so deeply hurt and betrayed by a human being that I did physical life with. And I'm going to believe that God can redeem even that. And that I'm going to run to an unseen God and I'm going to surrender to him and I'm going to trust that he's going to bring me through. That's hard, but that's a mature faith. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't even think for a second. I remember my counselor asking this question. She was that same day. She was like, are you mad at God? And I said, no. I mean, this was like hours after I discovered all the things. No. I said, I do think I'm a little disappointed though, because I trust in his plan, but just because I trust God's plan doesn't mean I like it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm just disappointed. I'm like, well, this really sucks.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him.
And how great that we can be disappointed and he can handle that.
And he's like, come on, baby girl. I'm like, hey.
Yeah. How do you think you got to that space? So like if you, so you have someone listening right now who maybe just found out the same thing you did, or maybe is going through a diagnosis or, you know, whatever. How do you get to a place like that where you're like, no, I'm not mad at God. Like I am clinging to him. He's the only thing that I can cling to. He's the only thing I can believe in. And you've had some practice because trauma has happened to you before. I think that helps. You know, I honestly do think that helps because it helps you now be able to be like, well, I got through that. Yeah. I can get through this. So how do we get to that place where our faith is so strong that no matter what happens to us, I have a bracelet that says, even if it all goes away, even if, am I to a place with God that I can be so attached to him that he is my, he's everything to me. How do we get there?
Yeah. I think the first thing is we have to be followers of God, not just fans. There was such, I mean, I got saved when I was 21, so I'm like fresh off the salvation bus, you know, which is great. I love it. I love that I'm still a little rough around the edges because people are like, "Ooh, she's nuts. God's still using her," you know? But for the first 4 years, I was like, "Ooh, I said yes to Jesus, getting into heaven. Hallelujah. Salvation. Thank you. Bye." But I was still twerking in the club on the weekends and getting high and, you know, all the things. I was still numbing out because I had so much trauma in my past that was unprocessed. I was truly a fan of God, not a follower. Because Sundays I was worshiping and belting out every single worship song, and I still do. But Monday through Saturday was trash. When I pursued God when I went through my first divorce. And that was such abusive, toxic, doors ripped off the hinges, holes punched in the walls. Like, it was not a good thing. When I started pursuing him, meeting with him, being intimate, being submitted and surrendered as a follower, then I got to see him. I got to see his face. Psalm 27:4. The psalmist writes, "When evil comes against me, and when all my enemies around me and wars rage against me, they will stumble and fall. But when those things happen, so when darkness comes, there's only one thing that I deeply desire. It's to dwell in the house of the Lord and gaze on his beauty." Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me that when wars are raging against you and people coming after you, you're not asking for a machete? Okay? No. He's asking for presence, witness.
Yeah.
Because that's what actually gets us through pain. And so when we get into the presence of God, like for real, not all the fluff, not posting all your Bible studies on Instagram and having quiet time. No, like when you really pursue the Lord, yeah, you'll see his face.
Yeah.
And when you see God's glory, holy goodness, I have a note in my phone that I started back in October called Kindness of God. Mm. And it's literally every single little God wink, everything, the fact, yeah, that I had two of my closest friends down the hallway when I got that news, the fact that I had counseling scheduled already, the fact that 2 hours after that, I got an email from my publisher that my kids' book's on a billboard in New York and me and my kids are flying out to go see it. Like, the house that me and my kids lived in, all of these things, one thing after the other.
Yeah.
But you only experience those things when you are looking and seeking the face of God.
Yep.
And boy, does he show up. Sweet daddy God, Jesus.
I love that you wrote those down. I think sometimes in the midst of the tragedy, we can only look at the big tragedy, and that becomes our 100% tunnel focus instead of looking at some of those things that he has ordained along the way to, I just always call it like just the sweetness of him, just like the sweetness of like, hey, you're going to be okay. Like, it's here's, so and here's why, and here's, and I think the thing that I want to make sure people don't hear today is like, Toni had a trauma happen and she's awesome in 3 months. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, she's good to go. She's, you know, doing all those things. Whereas you are still processing the pain and you're not able to, you know, you're not sharing all of those things, but that you are still processing. And it's a very, you know, real
non-linear process.
Non-linear. Yeah. Talk about that.
We've never arrived at all better. Like, we just don't. Like, we live in a fallen, broken world. We will get triggered. These things, we're not in the business of erasing memories. I mean, gosh, I wish I had amnesia. Jeez. No, like, what we're doing is we are creating capacity to hold what we've been through. And just the other day, what was that on Thursday? So it was last Thursday. I was filming a show with Our Daily Bread. The season one is already out. It's called Unshakable Moxie. And we interview women all over the world about like unshakable faith. And it's amazing. And we're sitting in Michigan and we're on the beach and we're filming. And this beautiful, I have a thing for sunsets and sunrises, but like I've never experienced a sunset as beautiful as this. And for them 7 minutes and 42 seconds that it took for that sun to go down, I wept. Because all I could think about was the creator of the universe, the creator of this beautiful sunset that is quite, I mean, it was so vibrant and big and close, held me in my darkest moments. The Holy Spirit, I mean, there's so many times in my room, I could not get out of my bed and I just leaned on a pillow and felt literally the physical presence of God, that he's so big and massive and yet so intimate and close. And I just wept. And I remember, this is so childish, but I remember the sun, like in this last little moments of going down, and I just started to say, don't go. Don't go, because I just don't want to live. I can't live a moment without them. I really can't. And it's because it's still just devastating.
Yeah.
What we've been through. Like, it just doesn't change. It doesn't mm-hmm. change that I'm in a new house that I don't want to be in. I wanted to be in my forever house with mm-hmm. my husband. Mm-hmm. We loved our house and we loved our pool and all the things. And I had to leave that. And I'm still mm-hmm. grieving that. Mm-hmm. But what's better than that is the presence of God. And I'm just like, I don't know where I'd be and I don't know where I'd go without his presence. So yeah, we're still freaking grieving and I'm still talking about it. I made a post about the sunset. I was like, I cried for 7 minutes and 42 seconds, y'all. Like I'm still grieving, yeah. You know, and we're people of grief. You know, yeah. We don't get rid of grief. I grieve that I almost dropped a cashew on my white shirt today. We are people of grief. Yeah. Okay? We get sad about things all the time.
Things happen. I mean, traumas happen. I've been reading just a lot about just suffering. And I think when you grow up and you haven't suffered and then something traumatic happens, holy cow, that's more my story of like, whoa, like everything was so great. Like, you know, I didn't really have a lot of resilience built up. And then I think when 100%. You get to the place, what you just said, I love what you just said is like, I have to live every moment with him. And I think until we're at that place where like, we can't do life unless we are, we need him. I think a lot of times we go through life and we don't need him. We need him for certain things, but not like for life, not for every hour of the day. We don't need him because we got our own stuff. We got our own strength and our own whatever. But when you have no strength and he is really it, that changes.
It changes everything. Well, then you see Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's like now it's not only about a creator, it's about a savior. Mm-hmm. Like, and you get to see the totality of the Trinity when you're in pain, because then you're like, oh, this is why he died and resurrected. Mm. Got it. Because of sin, the sin that we commit and the sin that has absolutely crushed us caused by other people.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
That's good. He suffered so that he'd be able to relate to the suffering I'm currently going through. And that's different. That hits different. It's presence.
Yeah.
It's
presence. Withness. I've been reading a lot about withness, which I love.
Dr. Kurt Thompson.
Yeah. I love
witness.
It. The withness. Uh-huh. Tell me a little bit, just kind of switching gears a little bit, about your new Unshakable Moxie. So I love some of the episodes. I love the one with Joni Erickson Tada. Like, just so cool. And I bet it's, tell me a little bit of how you're experiencing it now as you're kind of going through your own Moxie, your own being brave, because I'm sure there are times where you don't even want to show up that day. And yet you're interviewing these women who have been through so much. So tell me a little bit about that experience for you.
Yeah. Back in, it released in February, this 6-part docuseries where we get to go interview women like Joni Erickson Tada, who was paralyzed from the neck down in a really horrific accident and now has one of the largest ministries, international ministries for disabled people. Dr. Bernice King, the youngest daughter of Martin Luther King Jr. We all know what she went through.
Yeah.
It's just so, I mean, one after the other, just resilient women. And in January, the director called me because we were going through all the things and I was going through this public divorce. And she was like, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. Episode 1 is a lot about your story. It's, you know, it has your ex-husband in it. It has all the like, what we cannot put it out. We just want you to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I said, Julie, our director, I said, I won't dare erase the past because I'm not trying to erase pain. Mm. I need a reference point for what God has brought me through.
That's good.
And I will not erase it. I'm not going to do it. Mm. And so going back now and watching it, it's sad and it's beautiful because I'm like, some of the questions we asked are the answers to them were literally like healing balm to me now. Mm. And I didn't even know that as I was interviewing these women and traveling around the country, I would need this. I would need the content just as much as the people we're marketing it to.
Right.
We're like, if you need unshakable faith, if you need grit, if you need resilience, I'm like, oh, All of the above.
So when you recorded it, you were not going through this. So you're
No, I was married. Like, I was in my house that I love so much. I'm watching episode one in the house that I painted my son's room. I did one of those fancy light fixtures for the first time that you like switch out the regular thing and you put like the beautiful rattan, whatever it's called. I mean, like my kids had signs on their, you know, rooms that we got designed. I mean, all like I just had really made this sweet little house a home. And I'm having to watch episode one where we brought my son home. And it sucks.
So you're like experiencing it how you want the audience to experience it.
So when I tell you it's good, it's because I'm receiving it and you should as well. Because it's beautiful. And messy and good.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Who is it? Kate Bowler that talks about the, what is her word? The beautiful, horrible life or whatever she,
well, there you go, right there.
She calls it the beautiful, horrible. And how do we, you know, do that dichotomy? Yeah. The merchandise I have been seeing on your store. Why don't I have a hoodie is what I want to know.
Like, okay. Give me your address.
Where is my hoodie? That's what I want. So tell me when you made this, what is the stay brave? And then I love the scripture with it. It's, you know.
Yeah. Where your help comes from.
Yeah. Remember where your help come from. Tell me a little bit about designing that and then what it means to you.
Yeah. Talk about a God wink. I was designing it before I found out everything and started processing through divorce. And I released it as I was going through divorce. So publicly. And so I remember I had done a photo shoot. I was like, oh, that'd be so cute. And then I was like, am I going to be able to stay brave? Am I going to be able to persevere? And the yellow sweatshirt that we have is so soft. I'm not going to lie to you. I partnered with an incredible Christian-based shop called Etch & Co. These two incredible women. They're so great. And I don't know how they pick this fabric, but it is made of the wool of the one sheep that Jesus went after.
The one.
Bro, the yellow one. Now, the green sweatshirt is stunning. It's a very beautiful color. But the yellow is like soft. When I tell you I slept in that thing for weeks, probably did not wash it as many times as I should have. But I cried in the merchandise that I was presenting to the world. Night after night after night, being comforted by my XL yellow Stay Brave sweatshirt. And it has been a beautiful and constant reminder that's what it takes to endure this life.
Yeah.
It's not perfection. It's surrender and the bravery to be broken and in pain and grieved and crushed a little bit. And you get on the other side and you're like, man, I'm so glad I braved that. I'm so glad I didn't just cower down and hide. And I invited my community in. I said some really hard things. I got accountability. I pleaded with God. I prayed some honest prayers. I was brave. Yeah. I'm being brave now talking about it. Shoot.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's meant a lot to me and it's been really sweet. It's my first merch line too. So it just was sweet and precious.
That's fun. I wonder. Yeah. I wonder when that all happened. Like in what you just said is like, wait a second. Do I feel like this imposter that I'm putting out this Stay Brave and yet how am I going to do it? And then you did.
And then I freaking did.
And then you did. You did. As we kind of end our conversation, which I feel like we could talk over coffee all day long. Are you a coffee drinker? I don't even know that.
Oh, yes, I am.
What's your coffee of choice?
Well, it all depends. I have an amazing caramel latte that I usually get at this place called Spiller Park here in Atlanta. If that is not an option or if the caramel is nasty, I'm going to go vanilla latte with oat milk, hot every time. I don't care if these pits are sweating and it is scorching outside. I want a hot coffee.
In the dead of July, you're going to go hot.
I'm going hot every time. And I'm like, let's turn the AC on so we can enjoy this.
Wow. Okay. I just started going cold recently because we live in Waco.
I'm trying, but I can't. The flavors don't hit. It's like they're not melted in. I'm tasting two different flavors. Now, recently I've been into the English breakfast tea latte.
No. I feel like that's not
weird for me.
Are you in England? Are you? I feel like you're British. Like that's impressive.
I am British.
Feels very proper.
Thanks. Thank you. I have an accent.
It feels very. I might try actually. this new hotel that we have here in Waco,
okay,
Hotel 1928. When you come to Waco, you're going to come here.
Ready.
It's so beautiful.
Getting ready.
Joanna Gaines, of course, you know, she has her stamp on everything. So she redid it. And they have this like English lavender latte, like,
that I'm telling you.
I'm like, I just don't know. You. Okay, I'm going to try it.
It is weird. Picture. It's a weird taste, but I've been recently addicted. It's weird.
Okay. I feel sold on that. And
send me a pic.
I'm going to
send you. And your dress and your sweatshirt.
I'm gonna say, oh, yes. I'm going to send you that too. I'm going to send you that because I love a good hoodie. Ugh, I love a good hoodie. Okay. So for someone listening who's like, I love this conversation. She sounds so upbeat. I don't know if I'm ever going to be that upbeat again because my life totally sucks.
Yeah.
What would you say to that woman or man that just had their world ripped out, you know, just ripped apart? What would you say to them to keep them going?
Yeah. There are three instances in the Bible where we clearly see Jesus in this same position. The death of Lazarus, he was deeply grieved. The Garden of Gethsemane, he was so grieved that that sucker was sweating blood. Now, I almost do that at Burn Boot Camp. I didn't came close. And on the cross, when he cried out and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? In my moments of deep disappointment that this was a part of my story, I just kept thinking, if Jesus, the Holy of Holies, the Messiah, could sit in grief multiple times, I can too. And it's not a problem. Yeah, sure, joy will come in the morning, but our grief is holy and our tears are stunning. And I think that society has not given us a good framework for grief. They just haven't. It's bad. It's yucky. It's hunky. It's painful. It's, man, grief is beautiful. It births so much.
Yeah.
It births vulnerability, connection. When you're grieving, I mean, man, as hard as a funeral is, come on, as hard as a funeral is, all your people are together. Being there for you, consoling you, wiping your tears. As hard as it is to lose a marriage, seeing that I've got people in my life who are willing to father my son, move me and my kids into a new house, build my daughter's bed, buy me a rug that was so freaking cute. Like, yes, grief is hard. And we don't have to get to some other side quickly. I say to my girls, like in my course groups and the things that I get to do with healing, I'm like, we're going to be with you in the valleys. We won't leave you there. Let your people pull you out when you're ready.
Yeah.
But grieve, man.
Yeah.
Grieve well.
That's good. Yeah. That's great. Thanks for leaving it with us with that. I want you to look at my sign that's behind me because I want to make sure our listeners, if they're watching or see it, she knew she was formed by God's hands, dreamed up in his heart, and placed in this world for a purpose. That has been in my daughter's room since she was a baby. She's now 12 years old, but sometimes I just come and look at it and I'm like, high five, I got this. So you're living that purpose. I love that so much. I know it's hard. I know not every day you want to be talking on a podcast and doing on Instagram. And some days you probably do want to be like, peace out. Like, I don't need to do this.
In Mexico.
Yes, yes. Bye. But I just want to thank you for doing it. And thank you for using your pain to have purpose for others and to be a testimony for others. So thank you, girl. I'll be praying for you, for your strength, for God's strength in you. And I'm excited for people to get your merch because I can't wait for that. Stay brave and to watch Unshakable Moxie and then to check out your podcast. You've had your podcast for quite a while.
Yeah. The Still Coloring podcast is back, baby. Took a break from that as well. And now we're in season 6 and I am unpacking episode by episode this last season that I've been through. And just get your tissues is all I'm going to say.
So. Well, thanks for doing that. I'll put everything in the show notes because you got lots of stuff, books and kids books and all the fun things. But more than that, just who you are. I just appreciate who you are, even if you didn't do any of it. Just appreciate who you are, Tony. So thanks so much for being on. Appreciate you. And You know, I always love having you.